It was always great for the first time to see the rookie class. It was very exciting for coaches, I think for the players. It's a good first day for the Browns and for our young players.
It's been a whirlwind so far. All the anticipation leading up to getting here. But once we've been here, it's been go, 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 so you don't have time to be anxious.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin, Nathan Zagura right there, and, of course, our weekly friend, former Buckeye and Super Bowl champion, Matt Wilhelm. Andrew Gribble will join us soon. Let's talk about this weekend because the Browns feel like they're back. Fan Fest went down at First Energy Stadium yesterday. I had a chance to host a roundtable of former players. I know you guys had a chance to interact with fans and talk about the team. What was your favorite part of Fan Fest?
Well, obviously, I got to host the roundtable, Sashi Brown and Andrew Berry, and I thought that was neat to get some insights on the draft process and everything for the fans. But for me, really, it was just meeting all the members of the Dog Pound and people who come up and be like, I listen to CBD every single day, and I don't call in, but I love the show. Yep. And just the passion people have for Cleveland. And I met one guy in particular who had just taken his dad. It was his dad's turning 77 today, so happy birthday to him. But took his dad out with a season ticket rep and showed his dad. They got seats on the 50-yard line, season tickets, and you could just tell what an emotional and powerful moment it was for him. And just to see that was great.
It was, and I want to say the same thing. I think for me it was refreshing to see the open-minded Browns fan.
Yeah.
Because of the new regime, because of Sashi Brown, Hugh Jackson, the excitement centered around the 14 draft picks and what they're going to do and the impact that they will have. There was an excitement there at First Energy Stadium and a little bit of a buzz.
For me, it was Jim Brown yesterday talking about Hugh Jackson and was just glowing about Hugh and the relationship that he had with him and where they're going with the franchise and just feeling refreshed, I think, the same way that you guys are talking about, that it was really just kind of an open-minded thing. Joe DeLamalur, Paul Warfield had a chance to talk with those guys. 86 Browns, for me, you know, I look at a lot of the guys that we saw yesterday and they're a reason why you're a Browns fan. And they're a reason why you're a Browns fan, even through the leanest of times, that those guys brought your family together on Sundays like a religion and you always knew you had to sit down at 1 o'clock and watch the Browns. So even in the worst of times, when you see some of those smiling faces and remember some of the memories, it brings you back to what you know could be great times again.
Sure.
Browns Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Sashi Browns, also held a forum to discuss the state of the franchise. Here's the part of what they had to say about the team's strategic moves during the draft, including staying put at number 32.
So we were there at 32, and it was there were a lot of calls coming in. You know, Jack was still on the board. I think there were a number of teams chasing him. There were a couple quarterbacks that went later, but at least teams were flirting around with moving up for those guys as well. We just felt like Emmanuel represents and embodies really what we want at that position. There's not a lot of guys at 270 pounds that can run 4.6 and have his length and speed and size. We also think he's got a lot of upside in him.
All right, I know we're going to talk about that a little bit. What more did we find out yesterday that's kind of behind the curtain when it comes to the NFL draft? I think we all want to know what they're thinking. You know, I spent weeks upon weeks trying to figure out what the Browns were going to do. What did we learn yesterday in your roundtable?
Well, first of all, it was the first go-round for all these guys, and it was an opportunity for them to kind of try out their philosophy. And I think when you heard that soundbite there about Ogba, it was about accumulating assets, yes, but really it was about getting the best football players they could for the Cleveland Browns. And the guy that they cited, I asked him, you know, you talk about collaboration all the time. What was one example of a pick where you guys all collaborated, from the scouts to the analytics, everybody? And they said Seth DeValve. And they said, I know that was a surprise to a lot of people, but that was one where our coaches identified him early, our scouts checked him out, loved him, the analytics backed him up, and we all came together and selected him. So really, kind of the whole process for it, I thought was interesting.
What I took away was, especially from Sashi Brown, is him, his talk about the Eagles' opportunity and what it led to and how surprised he was to get the haul that they did and how it actually set them up perfectly to be able to get a player that they want, the number one player on the board in Corey Coleman at wide receiver, a position of need, and yet get the assets they did that to continue to get the building blocks, not only this year with 14 picks, but to get the assets next year in that first and second round.
And I think when you look back at it, I think they wanted Jared Goff. And once Jared Goff was gone, it opened up the world of possibility. And I think their goal was to get into the middle of the first round and get the number one receiver on their board. And I don't think they realized they'd be able to move twice, get everything they did, and still get that accomplished with Corey
Coleman.
It was
a big haul. It was. All right, the other big storyline this week out of Berea, obviously rookie minicamp. This is the first time the Browns got to see their 14 picks and undrafted guys live together and on the field. Here's what Spencer Drango had to say about walking into that Browns practice facility for the very first time as a member of the Cleveland Browns.
It's been a blast. You know, it's been a whirlwind so far. All the anticipation leading up to getting here, you know, Browns are a week later than, you know, the majority of the NFL team. So you have teammates leaving and coming back, you know, going to rookie camp and coming back and, you know, saying about their experiences. So there's a little anticipation and anxious energy building up. But once we've been here, it's been go, 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 so you don't have time to be anxious. But it's been a lot of fun, you know, learning a lot and just trying to get better.
Matt, your thoughts on Spencer and what these guys go through when they report to Berea for the first time?
Well, after 2 days of practice, to hear Hugh Jackson talk about Spencer Drango going to be, you know, in the competition to start at right tackle for the Cleveland Browns, that's something that excites me, to get a guy as valuable as he was, the lineman of the year in the Big 12, you know, that late in the draft, and potentially bring in a potential starter. I love that. But rookie minicamp itself, as it was for me, it was nerve-wracking. It really was. You're trying to process all that information. You're trying to impress the coaches. You want to go out and go 100 miles an hour, but yet your mind is setting you back because you don't yet fully know exactly what you're doing. And that's where coaches like Al Saunders, Hugh Jackson, as well as Ray Horton, and the integral aspect that they play in being hands-on and not just stepping back and letting you make those mistakes, but coaching you right on the spot so that you learn it, you can go out the next day and not make that same mistake. And I think that's something that is different from this staff.
Right, let me just ask you this real quick. How long does it take to feel comfortable? And do you ever really feel comfortable knowing that your job's on the line every day when you're a player?
You do. You eventually settle in once you understand Cleveland, its basis, you understand the highways, you start to meet some of your veteran teammates. I would say probably midway through OTAs. You know, the strength conditioning staff has their hands on you. You're getting your nutrition down. You're getting into your little own personal regimen.
All right. Now, after they had a chance to see their new home, the rookies got a chance to hit the practice field. Here's what head coach Hugh Jackson had to say after seeing his new players suit up for the first time.
It was always great for the first time to see the rookie class together, you know, on the field. It was very exciting for our coaches, I think, for the players. And I think it was a good start. I think the first thing I noticed, we have some guys we need to get in shape extremely fast. And it also showed me how impressive it has been to watch our veteran players get in shape, you know, and really work hard. So, but again, it's a good first day for the Browns and for our young players. And again, it was a good first day in the classroom. It was a good first day out on the field for them to start learning how we go about doing things here.
What were your impressions?
It was great to see these guys out there. And, you know, we talked to all the veterans before and said, what's the one piece of advice you give these rookies? It was like, get in shape, and they're going to have to do it quickly. And I think seeing the conditioning, seeing the way these guys were being pushed was great. And I like to focus on those wide receivers. And you'll see four different flavors: Coleman, explosive; Higgins, silky smooth; Peyton, big, physical; and Lewis, kind of that prototype who still is a little bit of a work in progress. But it was fun to see those guys get out there.
And I think, you know, hearing that comment, I love the accountability that Hugh Jackson initially put. He linked being in shape with Corey Coleman, our number one overall pick. If he can call him out, he'll call anybody out, which is a really good thing. But I don't want, being in shape is not essentially a negative thing. It's something that will happen very fast. And what it means is running that route, especially from a wide receiver position, at full speed every single time you have an opportunity. There's no 75%. There's no coasting, especially this early into the process.
Nathan, just really quick, he also mentioned the veterans there. What was your take on that
in terms of how the good of shape they've gotten?
Yeah, I mean, he's like, look, I mean, the veterans are like, we've talked about this for weeks. Hey, the veterans are on notice a little bit. You got a new coaching staff. You got to prove yourself. And he kind of lent to say, I was impressed with that.
Yeah, he's saying, look, they've come in. They've done everything we've asked them to do. You're not going to be handed anything, rookies. You're going to have to come out here, do what we ask you to do, and beat these guys out. So he's just driving the competition. It's about getting the 53 best players for the Cleveland Browns.
All right, guys, still plenty more to come on Dog Pound Report. Up next, we're going to break down key competitions on defense and debate which Browns draft pick has the most potential through a couple days of minicamp. We got to break it down, don't we? Back right after this. Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Andy Baskin, Nathan Zagura, Matt Willem. Time now to jump into some of the best position battles on the defensive side of the ball. We start off with the big men up front on the defensive line. Here's Danny Shelton on his role with the Browns defense this upcoming season.
I feel comfortable with the playbook. I know my assignments. I know that, you know, I can help out the rookies that come in. I can help out our other players if they need help. And we have veterans that are at the same level. And so that's why I'm excited. It's like Coach Horn, he just has this defense that isn't too complicated, and once you get it, it's easy to teach somebody else, and so I'm excited.
I'll be honest, I'm excited for him, too. When we talked to him on draft night, it feels like that whole rookie experience that he needed to get out of his system is gone. I'm really looking forward to seeing him come back as a veteran.
I am too. When he's come back, he's in better shape. He's adopted some MMA training to get the weight down, work on his hand. So I'm very excited to see him. But as you look at this defensive line, I think a lot of the positions are fairly set on it that Danny Shelton talked to us about being. He's going to be in the middle at the five technique right now. Desmond Bryant's your starter. Carl Nassib, who you just drafted, probably going to back him up and push him for playing time. At the three technique, you're going to have John Hughes, who the Browns recently signed to an extension, and then Xavier Cooper coming back in his second year, backing him up. I think the real battle right now, as I see it, will be Jamie Meter to back up Danny Shelton in the middle of that defense, and Niall Lawrence-Stample, an undrafted free agent out of Florida State that they're very high on. I think they carry six at the end of the day, and that's where you're going to be looking for the big battles there at the defensive line.
Jamie Meter's an interesting guy because, I mean, he battles to make the team with a different regime. Now he's got to prove himself all over again.
Absolutely. All these guys have to prove themselves all over again. It's a blank slate, and that can be good or bad depending on where you were in favor with the other regime and how this new regime views you.
All right, let's move on to the man that knows all about linebackers.
Oh, yes.
Here's Nate Orchard on what you can expect from the Browns linebackers heading into this season.
It's just going to be fun. It's going to be fun to have these young guys. You know, it's weird not being the rookie anymore.
Yeah.
But at the same time, really excited to mentor and guide these guys and help them any way I can. You know, I actually talked to Carl before the draft even started because we had won the same award, the Ted Hendricks Award. So I was texting, calling him, congratulating him. And watching the draft, you know, I see his name pop up on the ticker, and there you go. You know, we're on the same team now. Texted him, said, hey, man, can't wait for you to get out here.
All right, Matt, this is your realm, the linebacking position. You tell me, what do fans need to know about this linebacking core going into next season, and what kind of upgrades will we see?
I think what's very interesting right now is there might be only one, maybe two spots between in our 3-4 defense that you could essentially pencil someone in as our starter. And I think as you look at the inside linebackers, that would be DeMario Davis as our strong inside linebacker, Christian Kirksey more as our athletic, weak side, tackling machine type linebacker. And where it gets interesting is when you get on the outside now. You've got Paul Kruger, you know, a free agent that was originally signed when Ray Horton was the defensive coordinator, his guy. But he's expensive. He's getting close to 30. You've got Barkevious Mingo in his fourth year as a Cleveland Brown. No option extended to him. But Emmanuel Ogba, you know, coming off of his rookie mini camp, he's been very impressive. So how things really, you know, shake out is really what these guys put into their work throughout OTAs and that final vet minicamp. And a guy that, you know, another guy we drafted the first pick of the fourth round, Joel Schobert. Schobert is a guy, you know, who I think will start on the outside but has played inside. So there's a lot of jobs up for grabs, and I wrote these names down. There could really is going to be four outside guys, four inside guys. That's Tank Carter, Scooby Wright. That's a competition. You know, the Alexander kid out of Oklahoma, 35 starts out of 38 games at a big school like Oklahoma. It's going to be something that I'm going to be watching because it's near and dear to my heart.
All right, let's move back into the secondary now. Here's Hugh Jackson.
Well, I think the young guys will come in and compete, but I think the secondary will be better because I think we have the best secondary coach in Louis and obviously the best coordinator, and that's his specialty is the secondary. And I think Ray will get these guys to play, you know, and play like we know they can.
Your thoughts on the secondary?
It's going to be interesting, and we'll start at the safety position, obviously. Dante Whitner and Tashawn Gibson were your starters last year. They're gone. In comes Jordan Poyer, who filled in nicely for Gip last year. Ibrahim Campbell, who they liked a lot last year's regime, did in the fourth round out of Northwestern at strong safety. Raheem Moore you bring in. So a lot of new faces. You draft Derek Kindred. Really, the starters are going to be people that have never been full-time starters for the Browns again, so that's going to be interesting. We know cornerback as well. There's a lot of intrigue at that spot.
Absolutely. You know, Joe Hayden is in a walking boot right now, so he's not going to partake in a lot of this offseason. Had it kind of up and down last year. When he was on the field, it was up and down, and then he was hurt. So what kind of Joe Hayden are we going to get back? Tremont Williams became the number one corner last year. Didn't quite play like a number one corner. Getting paid a lot of money by this regime. You've got Justin Gilbert. You've got Pierre Desir. You've got, you know, Charles Gaines. Guys that played last year need to step up because I think there are some jobs in that defensive backfield that are definitely up for grabs.
All right, Matt, thank you very much. We will see you next week. Always outstanding job. Too bad you can't suit it up. I'd like to see you go back out there, linebacker.
I don't have it, man.
You don't have the legs anymore?
Not anymore.
Not in game shape. All right,
it's
we'll
all in
back.
Here.
Up the next, we're going to talk to Andrew Gribble, the Mad Scribble. He's going to come in. He's going to debate Nathan on some of the hottest position battles on the defense, and that's coming up next on Dog Pound Report. We are back on Dog Pound Report. Joining us now, our good buddy, Andrew Gribble, the Mad Scribble. I love that. He's going to debate Nathan on some topics that we want to talk about as we inch closer and closer to the start of training camp. So we're going to start off with the very first position battle, and that'll be on defense. What to look out for, Gribble? knock it out of the park.
I think the position that is completely wide open at the moment is safety, because you're looking at last year's roster. Both are starting safeties. They're no longer here anymore. Tashaun Gibson, he's in Jacksonville. Dante Whitner, he's a free agent right now. He's probably going to land somewhere pretty soon. So you're looking at a lot of young guys who have a little bit of playing time, and then you're bringing in some new guys in, Derek Kindred from TCU in the fourth round as well. I have my eye on Raheem Moore. He's someone we haven't really talked about much. He's coming off a rough year with the Houston Texans, but he's got potential, has talent. He's looking for that fresh start, has really embraced it. So I'm looking at him competing with a Jordan Poyer, who's really gotten a lot of work over the last couple years when injuries started piling up. And then I'm watching that strong safety battle between two young guys, Ibrahim Campbell and then Derek Kindred from TCU.
So while I agree with you that the starting jobs are up in the air, I think I feel pretty confident I know who the safeties are going to be on the roster when we start the season. Mm-hmm. I think you named them. Poyer and Moore at free safety, Campbell, and of course Kindred at strong safety. The place where I think it is wide open, and I mean wide open, is the cornerback position. First of all, how many cornerbacks are they going to keep this year? Is it going to be five? Is it going to be six? Let's look at it. You got Joe Hayden and Tremon Williams. Do you keep Tremon at his age and his expense? Then you've got the guys that you've drafted early in recent years, Pierre Desir, and of course former first-round pick Justin Gilbert. Kaywan Williams has been a staple. Charles Gaines has been a staple. Last year and somebody that they like. So that's six right there. You make a trade for Jamar Taylor, a former second-round pick, just like Raheem Moore out of Boise State, and then you draft Trey Caldwell. So that's eight guys right there that have either been drafted or traded for, or in the case of Kaywan Williams, who's been a huge player for your team, and not all those guys are going to be here. So I think that's why it's a little bit more hotly contested, just to make the team at the cornerback spot.
And I'll follow up on that with the corners. I'm looking at two guys, one that maybe he's looking at that fresh start. Justin Gilbert, clearly going to benefit off a new, fresh set of eyes. Clearly has all the athletic talent in the world. We think this coaching staff is maybe reaching him a little bit better, putting him in a good spot. And then you mentioned Kaywan Williams. I mean, he was a favorite of the last regime. He's going to still have to go out there and prove it. This is a former trial player. He's going to have to earn it again.
All right, let me just ask you real quick. Joe Hayden, this is just point of information. When do we expect him back? And really, when do we expect him back to game shape? I mean, that's the next one.
I've been told he'll be ready to go for training camp, and he should be ready to go week one. No problem.
Ready for
play. Training camp.
Key with him, because last year in training camp, he had a couple injuries, and it really just felt like he never got in a rhythm. So that'll be something to watch in training camp.
All right, let's switch gears now to the rookies, guys. I know it's early, but who was most impressive this weekend? And I know it's a real small sample size.
Well, I'm going to start on the offensive side of the football, and I'm going to go with Hollywood Higgins. And not because you could say Corey Coleman, that's easy. I thought Cody Kessler, good. DeValve made some nice plays. But when you watch this young receiver group, no one is smoother or more polished right now than Hollywood Higgins. And he capped it off yesterday at First Energy Stadium in the rain with a 50-yard catch from Cody Kessler, the biggest play, really, of camp so far. I like the way this guy moves. You can see him coming in and out of his breaks very smooth. He doesn't dip. He doesn't change his stride. He doesn't get wide. It's something Al Saunders, you'll watch, very important to him, the technique with which the way they run their routes. He likes what he's seen from Higgins. Great hands catcher. I think right now he's going to be ahead before they put the pads on. It'll be interesting to see if he can maintain that once the pads do come on.
I liked what I saw from Higgins, but I'll quote Hugh Jackson here and realize this: what they did this weekend, it's not football.
Correct.
They're not in pads yet. They're not able to show what they can really do once they're hitting and stuff. But the thing that stood out to me is what Emmanuel Ogba was able to do without those pads, without what he is capable of. You could see the explosion. You saw him working on special teams as well. He's going to do a lot of stuff for you. And even though he's at a position where there's a lot of bodies, as Matt mentioned earlier, as a pass rusher, you don't need a guy on the field every single down. You want him rested. I think last year the Browns ran into trouble when Paul Kruger was playing so much. But Ogba has that explosion. He's not going to make a play every time. But when he does, like he did yesterday, rushing around the edge and just swatting a Cody Kessler pass to the ground, you see the reason why you hung firm at 32, didn't take the bevy of offers. You really like what this guy can do. And it's about managing his motor, which was maybe a problem in college. I think this coaching staff is going to reach him that way.
And I want to say two things. One about Ogba. You see it. You get it. When you are out there, you see this guy is physically different than the other players on the field. You see why he is a special specimen. And then Corey Coleman, the first-round pick out of Baylor, of course, had one play on the sideline where he was cutting back. Kessler threw a ball that I thought was probably going to go over his head out of bounds, and he exploded off the ground, and you can just see that 40-inch vertical, got up there, caught it, got both feet in, and he said, man, you haven't seen anything like that kind of explosiveness in a while.
Had a toe tapper yesterday in practice where the people who hung tough and were watching, very much appreciated by the dog pound.
Just real quick, your cliff notes on Cody Kessler from over the weekend. What'd you think?
Very good accuracy, and yesterday the key was he was tested. I mean, it felt like November in Cleveland on that field. The ball was real slippery. Conditions weren't great, but he was connecting with his receivers, and I think the big knock on him was potentially his deep ball. Threw a very nice one to Hollywood Higgins down the sideline, and it was right on target. So I think he's showing the accuracy with what is his big strength. Now it's going to be the competition with Robert Griffin III and how he embraces the offense and his leadership ability.
Hugh Jackson coaches these quarterbacks very hard. He's very hands-on, and you'll see that. And he gave him a couple pointers early in a drill, and by the end of the drill, Kessler had that done. So I think he learns well. He talked about the accuracy. The arm strength certainly looked fine to me, and I think he's going to be a guy that they're going to continue to bring along.
All right, Gribbs, we'll read you at ClevelandBrowns.com. Make sure you catch him. Nathan and I are back to wrap up the show, and maybe if some time, we'll answer your Twitter questions. It's all coming up on Dog Pound Report. Time to put a bow on the show as we wrap up Dog Pound Report. Andy Baskin, Nathan Zagura. Let's answer a couple questions from Twitter. Make sure when you ask the questions, you use the hashtag AskDPR. Let's go with this question first. What does the future for Bibbs look like with Devolve coming in?
I think it'll be interesting because where E.J. Bibbs makes his money is as a pass-catching tight end and a mismatch tight end, and that's what Devolve was brought in here to do. Devolve is a superior athlete to E.J. Bibbs, but not a natural yet as a route runner, pass catcher in the pro set because he was going to play a lot of wide receiver at Princeton. Now he's going to be playing some inline tight end, some flexed-out tight end. I don't know they keep four tight ends, so I think Devolve Bibbs certainly is a pressure point.
All right, next question. We got time for one more. Joel W. Wade says, with Benjamin gone, who are the candidates to return punts?
I think the leading candidate's going to be Corey Coleman. You brought him in the first round. Why? He's explosive. You'll get him back there. The opportunity to switch field position, hit some home runs. And we've seen in this division alone, Antonio Brown do it for Pittsburgh. Steve Smith do it for the Baltimore Ravens. And Andy, I must say, congrats to Stipe Miocic last night, UFC heavyweight champion, back to Cleveland.
Might be one of the toughest guys I've ever seen.
It was a beast, the right hand.
I've never, ever seen a guy as tough as that guy. All right, we're going to say goodbye. OTAs, what we'll be talking about next?
Seeing the veterans out there, you know, with the rookies. The competition begins to make this team.
Looking forward to it. All right, that's it for this week's Dog Pound Report. We'll see you tonight on the Ford Sports Sunday as well. That'll do it from 30th and Euclid. Take care, Browns fans. Take care.